Support for this News from Lake Wobegon podcast comes from the Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort, the bed that lets you adjust the mattress firmness to your preference, your sleep number. And by Bisquick Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real good. Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been cold out there, bitterly cold, sometimes wind chill down to 40 below zero, but the days are getting longer, so this is a good sign. We now have light until we're about ready to sit down to supper, about quarter of six almost, 5:30 or thereabouts, what we would call the supper hour, what people in Minneapolis call the cocktail hour, but you don't have that in many homes in Lake Wobegon, as you might find out if you came to be a guest and you were waiting to be offered a drink. It just might not come, and you might have to become a temperate person. Although Pastor Enquist, the Lutheran pastor, has discovered the pleasure of a glass of scotch on the ice in the evening, he is aware of the fact that not all of his parishioners should know about this, and so he has to be careful who he might invite over in the evening. And the other day, this has been about a week ago, he was called out to the Good Shepherd home because Mrs. Anderson was breathing her last, and he was there by her bedside. He'd had his highball for the evening, and he'd taken some Sen-Sen, but she is quite a perspicacious lady, and though she was unconscious when he put his head down by her ear to whisper the Lord's Prayer in the ear of this dying woman, she could smell whiskey, and in her mind, prayer and whiskey simply do not mix. And she opened her eyes, and she gave him a baleful look, and she came back from the dead. Moral disapproval is a powerful stimulant to many people. The president is responsible for the longevity of many, many Americans who just keep going on and on. So they say that spring may be 5 weeks away. We're not sure. There are signs of it. There's some birds out there. Robins have appeared, and smell of skunks on the outskirts of town. The raccoons are out and breeding and fighting each other for their prime mates. And Darlene down at the Chatterbox Cafe has started talking to men online again, which she had given up back in the fall. She had decided that whatever bliss she should have in this life would not be marital. But now spring has come on, and she's been talking to this man online who's not bad. She got a picture of him. It was taken in poor light, and his name is Howard. He's 65, a little older than what she was looking for. He's a custodian at a school. He has two children, one of whom still lives with him, and she just isn't sure what to do. He likes to travel, though mainly to Las Vegas, but he's willing to go to other places. She says, I just don't know what to do. She said, well, do what your heart tells you to do, says Dorothy. What does her heart tell her to do? She had one phone conversation with him, and he sounded kind of wheezy to her. She's not sure if she should pursue this, but spring is coming, and even money says that she will. Spring is coming, and that means that we have influenza in our town, which has gotten worse and worse, especially up at the grade school and the high school, too, for that matter. Kids just getting sick. A lot of throwing up going on in the school, and a kid throws up in the hall, you know, in between classes, and people walk in it, and they track it all over the school, and pretty soon the whole school has this kind of acrid odor of stomach acids, and it's, of course, the inspiration is contagious, and once you smell it, then you kind of feel your own inwards churning a little bit, and you go down to the lunchroom, and there's the chow mein, and it just kind of sets you off a little bit, and then you hear somebody retching, and one thing leads to another. I was so terrified of throwing up in front of other people when I was your age, when I was young and sensitive, that it just changed my life. You see, I never had thrown up in front of anybody. Nobody had ever seen me do it. And lack of experience made this even more terrifying to me, if you know what I mean. I was petrified by the thought that I might just suddenly do it, like now, you know, like right now. And it would just all come out of me, and everybody would see it and turn away in disgust. And to avoid that, I just stayed indoors all of the time near a toilet. I didn't go in for sports or anything. I just stayed right close to the toilet. It's what made me a writer, really, was the fear of throwing up in front of other people. I dated a woman a few years back who threw up in the back seat of a taxi cab, and she did it with such elegance and such nonchalance. We had been shopping at Barnes & Noble, and she had the book bag there, and she just started to retch, and then she reached for the plastic bag, and she threw up in the plastic bag, and she said, "Well, I guess I won't be reading those books." It was such a wonderful evening, and it was so amazing to see somebody handle this with such grace in the back seat of a taxi cab. She just folded it up and put it away, and she threw it in a trash barrel as if it meant nothing. It was a beautiful night in New York. It just rained all afternoon. There were puddles there in the street. It felt like the Gene Kelly movie, and the scene where he's dancing in the puddles. "I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again." I felt that way when we got out of the taxi cab and we walked up to the brownstone where she lived, and she turned to kiss me, and I moved to kiss her, and then I sort of held back a little bit. She said, "Embrace differences. Really, it's life. It's just life. Life is good. Life is good." And she kissed me with her open mouth. It was kind of a sweet, sour taste, like sort of like Greek yogurt in a way. But it was a visceral thing, and it had given her visceral feelings. You see, she said, "Do you want to come up to my apartment?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, I could, you know, but I mean, I don't know. It's sort of late." She said, "A man who doesn't know what he wants is not a man I'm interested in." "I'm sorry," I said. "I'm so sorry." "A man who apologizes is nobody I'm interested in," she said. She turned. She gave me a little shove, just a little shove, and she went up the stairs. She closed her door in kind of a definitive way and disappeared. And right away, I felt this regret about it, wishing that I could rewind. And yet, would I have done something different on the second take? I'm not sure. Because I do come from Lake Wobegon, and in Lake Wobegon, we're born with a sense of foreboding coupled with a sense of regret. So that we think, well, maybe I shouldn't do that, and then we don't do it, and then we regret that we did not do it. It's a three-time winner. It's the trifecta. So Pastor Enquist gave up scotch for Lent, and then he kind of switched. He decided that he would give up dark chocolate instead, since he had not had any and did not really have a taste for it. It happened one evening when Father Wilmer called him from Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility and called him up to come over. He said, "I need a little professional consultation." So Pastor Enquist went down to see his friend, the priest, who was feeling so terrible, just feeling utterly abandoned and alone in this world, as if he didn't have a single friend, just a whole lot of parishioners who expected him to be holy and wise and reverent and everything that they wanted, and not a real human being. They went back to the kitchen in the rectory, and Father Wilmer brought out a bottle of Pastor Enquist's favorite scotch, It's a 1.5 malt scotch. It's called Mackay, and it's made from water that's in the Hazel River Valley in Scotland that flows through sheep meadows, and it and it flows through potato fields, and it flows through pine forests and through this salt marsh. So it picks up the essence of juniper and of starch and of lanolin and of salt, and then they pump it out of the ground and they mix it with malted barley and with yeast, and it sits there in the mash and in barrels. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a golden color. Father Wilmer brought out the bottle and two glasses. He said, "Would you like a glass of it?" Well, it was a complicated theological decision to make right there on the spot. I mean, the wisdom of sacrifice and giving up something for Lent and the rightness of righteousness versus the goodness of fellowship, and Father Wilmer here in need coming to assist a fellow pastor in his moment of need, the humility of giving up the pride of sacrifice. It was a very complicated theological calculation, and Pastor Enquist made it in an instant. He is a trained theologian. He said, "Yes, yes." So he poured it out into two glasses. You don't take ice with Mackay, 1.5 malt scotch. You drink it straight, room temperature, warmed a little bit in the palm of your hand, and you drink it down. This golden, golden liquid, you take it down. It burns a little bit in the throat because life is pain. Love is painful, and then it gives you this golden glow all through your body, this work of art. Made out of suffering, made out of a dark, rainy country. The pastor sat there at the table, crucifix on the wall right up behind him. The priest stood at the counter holding the glass of whiskey in his hand and sort of arranging what hair he has across his bald spot. He said, "I've never felt so bad as I felt this last week. I'm so grateful to you for coming over. It's just good to be able to talk to another human being, just straight, man to man." He said, "I tell you something, it just struck me the other day." He said, "There's nothing I could ever say in the pulpit. I wouldn't even know how to say it. But it just struck me so hard that life is adversity. That is the meaning of life. We crave adversity. We need to get into trouble and to stay in trouble. And this is what keeps us alive. We need to keep eating that apple over and over and over again. What comfort there is in righteousness is nothing compared to the beauty of the knowledge of life and death, good and evil, which is the knowledge of life. Teachers who retire go back to teaching because they need to be in trouble again. Old soldiers go back to war. Writers keep writing because they need to be in trouble one more time. We just need that. That's the meaning of life," he said. He said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to start giving up. I'm going to start giving up things. I want to add more things is what I want to do. I want to live life, make more mistakes." Pastor wasn't sure what he should say by way of counseling, but they just clinked their glasses one more time and tossed back a little bit more. And then Father Wilmer said, "You want a second glass?" It was a complicated theological decision. The benefits of moderation, the rightness of moderation versus, you know, being a true friend to one in need. "Yes," he said, "I would like another one." So they had another one, and this feeling of golden warmth spread in his body. Beautiful, warm feeling of Scotch whiskey. And right then he loved Father Wilmer, loved him as much as he could love anybody. Not that he would ever say so. He wouldn't, of course. But he loved him like a brother. And isn't that what the faith is all about? That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children above average. The News from Lake Wobegon podcast is brought to you by Bisquick, Heart Smart Pancake and Baking Mix. With 0 grams trans fat and no cholesterol, Bisquick Heart Smart Pancakes are a delicious way to be good to your heart. Bisquick, real pancakes, real good.